This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy, bringing you another episode recorded live at the 2021 ATI Super Conference. You know, the hardest part about moving forward is sometimes going backward. Now, moving out of your comfort zone and embracing change can be a struggle for all of us to do. In this episode, Jeff and Donna Hazeltine share an emotional story that happened just 8 months ago. They had hit rock bottom with their business after losing long-term employees and felt like things just couldn't get any worse. They had help from their fellow shop owner, Troy Vantinetti, who's on the episode. Discover how they climbed out and now have a completely different business culture. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Apex and Shopware, for their support. You know, imagine walking into a simulated real-world shop environment with 8 service bays, lifts, and vehicles where you can see product demos and talk capabilities, benefits, and how to use them all in real time. Welcome to the new Joe's Garage at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. It's a homecoming. Hope to see you there. Register now at AAPEXshow.com. Hey, when was the last time you heard a customer say, "Thank you for taking my money"? Get Shopware shop management software and your customers will be shouting it from the rooftops in overwhelming 5-star reviews. Learn more at GetShopware.com. Hey, if you want to see Troy Vantinetti's new shop build, head to my website, remarkableresults.biz, and search for Shop New Build. It's Town Hall Academy, episode 227. Hey, warm welcome to Donna Hazeltine and Jeff Hazeltine from American Import in Venice, Florida. Hi.
Hello.
Good to have you here. Graham Auto Repair, Troy Vantinetti, Italian just like me.
Vantinetti.
Vantinetti. Ah, okay, I got it right. From Graham, Washington. Wow, East Coast, West Coast here, huh?
That's right.
We're here at the ATI Super Conference 2021 in Amelia Island at the Omni. You're my last interview of the day. It's been a whirlwind, and I've had so much fun. I've met so many incredible people here, and it's been an unbelievable trip for me, and I hope it has been for you guys. We've got some really interesting things to talk about. This is going to be a great episode that I think is going to go down in legacy history because many of you are going to relate to this. But give me an idea. What's your big takeaway from the conference, Donna?
There's a lot of takeaways. I think one of the things that really have stuck with me is Jeff Berman's class about, are you a story seller or a storyteller?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's to your internal or external customers, it was a great insight.
It is. I mean, you're learning and telling stories to me is just a great thing. I mean, that's what I've always thought that I do is I tell stories through other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Customers relate much more to stories than facts.
How about you, Jeff?
Probably my biggest takeaway right now would be with Richard's thing, because we're in the process right now of trying to get a second in command. And it's an area that nobody really has, you know, we haven't practiced it yet. We haven't trained on it yet. We don't really know where to even go. So I think Richard gave me a lot of insight. We took a lot of notes to go back and start working on this process.
That was a step-by-step.
Yes,
that was awesome. That was so interesting. How about you, Troy?
I love the reminder of getting up in the morning and focusing on the things that are going right. I mean, so often we get just stuck in looking at all the things that are going wrong. So what a great reminder for me.
Be in the world of positivity, huh? Jeff, you had a 14-year employee. The whole episode is going to be about this issue that came up with you. So there's, again, thousands of shop owners out there that can relate to that. I lost a 14-year employee, but there's more to the story.
Yeah, well, I mean, to go back, is the fact that, you know, for years we kind of knew that even though he was a superstar as far as selling, he could do his, you know, the $1 million a year on his own. So he was that guy. But we knew that he was not somebody that would ever allow us to grow to where we needed to be. And we were told that right off the bat from ATI. We did have a shop meeting, visit with my 20 group. One of the things that every one of them wrote down on the thing is the first thing you need to do if you want to grow is he's got to go. But the comfort zone was there. So you know, I was reluctant to do it because of the fact that, you know, my income was good and that was important at the time.
You were plateaued?
We were definitely plateaued with him.
And you weren't going to get any, you were happy, but you didn't see far enough ahead.
I didn't, at the time, we wasn't looking at, say, what is, how are we going to exit this place? How are we going to live the life we want to live? That's the part I wasn't looking at. And once we started looking at that, then we realized that we definitely had to, something was going to have to change, or I was never going to get out of there, is what it boiled down to.
Donna, were you in alignment with Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. And everything he just said, exactly right. I think we are in a comfort zone, you know, and we knew this is somebody that wouldn't take us where we needed to go. He was great to get us as far as we went, but he was not the guy to take us to the next level.
Take me home to a dinner time. Did you ever just look at each other and says, when are we doing this?
Several times, I think you guys have.
All right. Several times, yes.
And so how long after you really realized it and the 20 group said, hey, knock, knock, whisper, you need to do this, how long did it take to pull the trigger?
It was probably still another couple years after that, because we first thing we tried doing, of course, is we put him through leadership classes. We did 2 years of he was getting a call every week, too, from our coach on a leadership role to try to see if we could make him become that guy. We didn't get anywhere there, and that's when I kind of realized it was time. At that point, we did try putting him in the 20 group with the
COOs,
not the
service
CEO,
advisors.
The service advisor.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and a
okay,
lot of
right.
those guys are running the shows, so we thought maybe he would catch on there, and that didn't really help.
You invested.
We definitely invested.
And he, for the lack of anything, didn't respond.
He did not respond in any positive ways. Everything still came back the same way. And that's when we realized that we were definitely going to have to make a change, or the change was never going to happen.
You didn't want to pull the trigger because you knew that you were going to have a heavy burden to train and replace and to find, right? Is that what makes people hesitate?
That's definitely what made us hesitate. You know, when you got the income coming in, so you are in a comfort zone. And if one of the things Troy said to me is, are you ready to go backwards so you can move forward? And, I know I wasn't ready to move backwards. I just wanted to figure out how to go forward, you know, and that doesn't work.
Because you worked how many years going forward to get to the comfort zone that you were in, and you just refused to go back to work.
That was kind of the case, yes.
Everybody's relating to this, yeah. Who's listening. Trust me. And if you're not relating to it, prepare for this to happen if you don't pay attention to your business.
Yeah, and Donna worked in the office with him, so I think it came to a head at some point where she just said, enough is enough, and started confronting him.
Yeah.
That's what I remember, right?
Yeah, we did. We had some confronting with him, and I think Jeff and I both had gotten to a point where we decided we wanted to, even with him there, it was time to build a team. Let's get a team going, you know, whether it's another service advisor, shop foreman, and we did. We hired another advisor, and we hired, I guess you would call him a shop foreman, shop manager. We had him going, and this other particular advisor, I just don't think he liked the fact that we had other people in there too. I think he, I don't know. I don't think he liked the fact that he was not the only person up front. We have another advisor. Now we have a shop foreman. So we're trying to train them. And then this other advisor was fighting us all the way, even though we had him in a 20 group. We had him on leadership classes. He just fought us the whole way. And in the meantime of all that, we had our ATEC retired.
So you made the decision to move on. After how many years was he with you?
14 years.
After 14 years. And then you lost an ATEC. And did you think the world was coming crashing down?
For me, you know, because I run on the outside. So that definitely was, you know, you got that. Then you got that. You know, you got a lot going on. As we know right now, hiring people is not the easiest thing. So I'm looking at the fact that, you know, we've been running ads. We're not getting many people responding. And now everything we have is starting to fall apart. So, yeah, it definitely put a heavy load on me. All of a sudden, I got to thinking, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, what I had, at least we were paying our bills. You know, what are we thinking at this time? You know, that's just, I think, the natural human thought, even though, as we know, the outcome is definitely.
Well, I think the funniest part of the whole story was when he said he quit and Jeff called his bluff. He didn't know what he was getting into at that point, but Jeff just called his bluff.
Oh, the service advisor?
Yeah.
He
came in and put his notice in, and we were done.
You didn't let him go.
No,
he gave notice.
He come in
on his own.
Well, because of the pressure that we were putting
got
on
it.
Him,
yeah,
he just couldn't take the heat. And I think he thought that when if he came in and put his foot down, that we would crumble. And so when he came in and put his foot down, gave his notice, he didn't realize we were already there. We were ready to
pull. Were you days or weeks away?
We were there.
You were there. So you just had to agree to this was the day we were going to do it, but your mind was made up.
My mind was made up exactly that we were definitely, there was no way this was going to work, that he was not going to comply with, you know, us moving to the next level. And so when he came in and gave his notice, he didn't realize that we were already there. So we were just, we accepted it. And he definitely.
That's so funny. Troy, obviously you're in the 20 group, right?
Yes.
You have a coach. There's a lot going on in helping you grow and be better business people. What kind, I mean, you're in the 20 group. Without breaching confidentialities, what were you guys telling Jeff?
Was this before or after the let go?
Before, to work him up to the decision. I mean, you agreed. You've done all this work. I think it's time. I mean, were you getting that kind of advice?
They definitely clearly come let me know that if I ever want to be set free from the shop, I ever want to join them on these vacations they're doing, that I'm going to have to make a change at my shop or I'll never get to join them.
Where's the next vacation?
Hawaii in 3 weeks.
Seriously, you're all going?
No.
Oh,
join me soon when he gets back.
All right, yes. I get it. Okay, so when Troy, when Jeff called you and said he quit, what did you say?
Jeff didn't even call. It was Donna.
And you called Troy and says, "Hey, we made this decision," and you were probably happy for them, I'm sure. And then you realize all the work you had to start doing, figuring this out.
Well, actually, Donna called because I quit. This was before we let him go.
So actually what had all inspired, we'll talk about this. So our service advisor, he did come in and give his notice. He gave his notice. We accepted it and we sent him on his way. So we were left with a newly advisor that we had just hired months before, a newly shop foreman that was kind of new. And then we had lost our A-tech, who we had rehired another A-tech, but turned out to not be an A-tech. And we had probably two B minus techs and a C tech out in the shop. So now we have two new people in the office, a new advisor, a new foreman, and no A tech in the shop and some other techs. So no one's really knows how to use the DVI. No one's really got used to it yet. We have nobody in the shop that can diagnose. No diagnosing ability in the shop at all. Jeff's trying to, you know, run the, you know, keep track of the guys, keep track of the new advisors. At that time too, we also have our city contract. We knew we had new ambulances that had come in that we had to totally equip with all the safety equipment. So he's having to do that. And it just became like we talked about a domino effect. I mean, everything that was going wrong could go wrong. And when you have nobody that can diagnose in your shop, and you've got four guys standing around because they're waiting on Jeff, get in line. I mean, everybody was waiting on Jeff to do everything. And it just got to a point where, you know, we're husband and wife. We go to work together. We have to go home together. I really didn't know how to help him or how to help. I did everything I could on the inside to try to keep the inside going. And I just felt like, you know, one day I think we were in the shop and I looked at him and I was like, oh my God. I mean, I felt like he just looked lost. You know, there was just so much going on and everybody was dependent on him, you know, to bail them out. So anyway, I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do? You know, I even felt like even calling our coach, that was not the answer either. I just needed something different. I needed something from the outside so I was like, oh, okay, our 20 group. Here, you know, we've never done that before. I don't think we've ever really. So I sent a text message out, you know, and just said, hey, you know, Jeff's not here at the moment, but we're struggling with a lot of issues. And I really think he could use an ear. We could use some advice. So if you have a moment, you know, if you could please give Jeff a call. He's not here. He's gone. He had gone to the dentist appointment. So I thought this is a great time for me to sit down, think about who I can reach out to just listen, you know, to what we got going on and maybe get some outside advice or views of him. Because I feel like when you're in the middle of all this, you get lost, you know. I mean, he was in the middle of just a whirlwind. you know, just going 90 miles an hour, you know, around him. I just felt like he didn't know where to, you know. So I just reached out to the 20 group, and his Troy was awesome. You know, he gave Jeff a call, and I think that was the start of coming back over the hill.
Hey, Carm here, and find out how Jeff went from being on autopilot to embracing change. With registration now open for Apex 2021 in Las Vegas, you can already feel the excitement building for this year's homecoming. Hey, I can't wait to reconnect with all of you in person and share stories of our time apart, both personal and professional. And I also can't wait to sit in on the technical and business management training specifically for you, the service professional. Now, with more than 20 sessions, you'll hear from the best of the best, including John Thornton, who will lead a session on fuel trim diagnostics, and Bob Ward, who will share business sales strategies and design. Make sure to also experience the new Repair Shop HQ and Joe's Garage. It's designed with you in mind. And also, visit the show floor to see many new products and emerging technologies. Keep in mind the dates, November 2nd through the 4th, 2021. Be there. Hope to see you. Register now at AAPEXshow.com. Are you stuck in small ticket rut? Well, that's exactly what happened to Dominic Linden and the team at Autobahn Service in Sheffield, Massachusetts. With the busy day-to-day bustle of shop operations, they didn't have time to chase customers for approval. They were caught in a cycle of low AROs, and they were losing those higher ticket jobs to competitors. Autobahn Service was introduced to Shopware, and just a few months after going live, the shop was so busy with new jobs that they actually needed to lower their car count. They are now able to be selective with the services they take on, and profits have never been better. Additionally, by tapping into Shopware's digital estimating capabilities, Autobahn Service has noticed an 89% average approval rate from customers. Their average RO before Shopware was $450, and now it's up to $700. Now, that's a 55% increase. Do the math. Reach your customers faster and get approved dollars up. GetShopware.com. So when you said, Jeff, that you quit, you mean you just turned off?
I was just done. I told my wife that I don't want to do this no more. I'm done.
You know, what else could happen?
Yeah, I'm just done. I don't, you know, this is not how I want my life to end. And I was just done with, you know, just one thing after another.
So you were happy to be a greeter at Walmart at that moment?
I would have been happy to be a greeter at Walmart at that moment. I was just, you know, at wit's end, you know, just too many things happened at one time. And it definitely put a domino effect, you know, onto to my stress level.
So you reached out, Troy. Tell us about it.
Oh, I just called him and said, how's it going? Because I wasn't aware of how bad, I mean, it was at the shop. I hadn't heard nothing about any of this. So, and after Don had sent the text, I said, how's it going, Jeff? And he told me everything that's going on. I go, I can't believe that. And the only advice I could really give him is, you know, this is that hard work you got to get through to get to where you want. I mean, it's only going to get better from here. Here is the bottom. And it's going to get better because now you're going to restart your shop. So.
And that's definitely what I needed. You know, I needed just to hear somebody, you know, and Troy is one too that was really good to come from, because being as a 20 group with Troy for all these years, I watched him build his shop, and I watched him lose his building, and I watched him lose his tax, and I've watched him do everything that was more or less happening to me times 10, but he pulled through it. And he pulled through it. I mean, I never thought he would pull through. As I watched him build a shop and go through what he went through, to watch that happen with him, let me know that he, you know, he was a man who's been through this. He's not just saying, don't worry about it, buddy, it'll be better. This is somebody that's been through twice what I was going through, and pulled right through it. So it was definitely good to hear. If anybody was to call me in my 20 group, I think it would, Troy was the best one to call me, because I watched him go through, again, twice as bad of what I was going through.
And you share a birthday.
And we share a birthday.
And it's tomorrow.
2 days.
Monday.
So sometimes that's all we need is reassurance, somebody to help us rebuild our confidence and to realize that life's not terminal. I mean, or at least these situations weren't terminal, that if you can get through this, it's really up to both of you, right? Mm-hmm. Donna and Jeff, yeah. to make that happen. okay, Troy, you came up with the encouragement. It wasn't just the one-time call. Were you connected to Jeff like every couple of days, every week? I mean, what were you expecting from Troy and or the 20 group? Or did you just have that one thing and you were on your way?
You know, when Troy, you know, when he called me and he talked with me, I definitely, when I hung up the phone, I felt like a new energy. I swear it went through my body. And the good Lord, whatever. I mean, then all of a sudden, just the right people just started walking in my door. And wow. I mean, it's amazing. And today, where my shop is today, it's just, I've never enjoyed going to work as much as I enjoy going to work today.
It's not the same shop whatsoever.
It's not the same shop. It's the you know, everything, the culture, everything. It's just, it's a whole brand new shop. It's so enjoyable to go to work today. You know, it basically, we end up cleaning house. We end up cleaning house and doing exactly what Troy said. Clean house and get yourself a crew in there that'll work, help you build what you're trying to build.
How long ago was this?
This was probably in the fall. I mean, 6-8 months ago.
That's it?
Yeah.
In the middle of all this, I mean, we got a great diesel tech. We got a great European tech. I mean, just everything just started. And, you know, COVID a little bit to do with it. A couple of my technicians I got had their own businesses then. Because of COVID, they were failing. So they were looking and they loved my shop. And they, I mean, it was just timing. And here they come saying, hey, can I help you? And I'm like, God, I mean, this couldn't have been a better timing to come. And my new manager is just phenomenal. He's doing just a great job running the show for me.
It's just, hey, you walk in the shop now and it's just, it feels friendly. Just totally different. I've been to a shop lots of times. So I can tell the difference just walking in.
You started from scratch almost.
We did go to scratch. There was nobody in my shop now today that 8 months ago
was there.
And I'm talking long-term employees. I had, my E-Tech was 25, 30 years with me. They were all long-term employees and we went in and cleaned house. We just did what we had to do.
What did you change? I mean, did you change the culture? I mean, was Troy shaking his head here. So you had a chance to start, if you will, as we say, scratch from point zero. Look back. What were the big changes that are bringing you here right now?
You know, I think a lot of it, for one, you know, I went to each one of my guys and said, listen, because why we're in this mode, this is my vision. This is where I want to go with this. And we've been talking about this for quite some time. And I'm not turning back this time. I'm moving forward. You know, either with me or you're not. And each one of them didn't want no part of the new change. They didn't want change. So if they didn't want the change, we let them go. And then I think a lot of it to do is with our new manager, for one. I think he definitely has built a great, and our new service writer is just phenomenal. She's such a great person as far as with the people. It's just, it's amazing. I always thought that the shop had to be the way my shop was, because every shop you go into is the same, is it not? Until I got involved with the 20 group. And then I realized it don't have to be that way. Because I watched, you know, the guys in my 20 group, the ones that really stuck to their guns and did what was supposed to be done. I'm now, all of a sudden I see them, you go in their shops and it's amazing how smooth they run, how great they run. And I realized I can have that too. But I'm going to have to make a bunch of changes for that to happen.
Can I be so bold as to say that you were running on autopilot for an awful long time?
That's exactly what we were doing.
He was comfortable. I mean,
I was comfortable. The money was there.
Yeah. He has another shop that produces, that's a fleet account for the city. Yeah. So,
and we've had the city contract now for 27 years. Uh-huh. And so there was. It was a comfort zone. So I had a sidekick bringing me money, and I had, this shop was actually making me money, nowhere near where it should have been. But it was, so with the two incomes coming in, I mean, me and my wife, we lived in the house we wanted to live in. We drove the vehicles we wanted to drive. So it was a definite comfort zone.
But being on autopilot is not a bad thing. But if you're not paying attention to all the little nuances in the business and the quality of the people that you have, and if maybe your sales were plateaued, well, there's an indicator.
Yeah, the sales were definitely plateaued. Yeah. And the biggest thing was, as I realized that I was not able to take a vacation because my shop would catch on fire.
You were the center of it.
If I was gone for more, we did long weekends for the last several years because I could not take a week off. If I came back, I would have nothing left.
You were it.
That was definitely the case. So, yeah. And I knew that, and again, if I wanted to join these guys with some trips that I'm going to have to, something's got to change in my shop.
Well, there's a motivator. You harassed the hell out of him, Troy?
Oh, yeah, I'm the vacation driver.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yes, he is.
All right, cool, cool. Do this for any other, the 20 group members, any other interventions? And I don't mean the word intervention. I'm not saying it's one of those, you're destitute, but really, you're getting involved through, was it just encouragement and confidence, or did you go to even a higher level with Jeff?
Well, we're such good friends. It's like family, so it's
okay.
It's like if your brother or sister calls you up and needs help, of course I'm calling.
How often were you on the phone together or Zoom calls or whatever? One-on-one. After all this stuff happened and he was at his lowest of lows, were you constantly in touch with him?
No, I think from after that, we would have our conversations. I don't know how far apart, but I'd ask him how things are going, and every time I talked to him, it was going better and better, and his attitude was totally different.
Okay, so you basically said, okay, buckle down, let's get this over with. I mean, after you found the lowest of lows, there was nowhere other place you could go. Boom. And what was that, 2-3 weeks after that lowest of lows?
I would say, and then, then at that point, I would call Troy with my, my wins.
Okay.
I'd call him, hey, man, I got this great guy now. I think this is going to head right direction. Then, hey, I got this great tech now. I mean, things are really starting to. So, yeah, at that point, it was all the wins I would call him with because I felt like I was on this.
I love that. I love that. I called him with the wins. Now, if you didn't hear from him in a while, did you have to, hey, I haven't heard a win in a while. What's going on?
No, I think we talked in our 20 groups and stuff. So it was.
Okay. All right.
We had communication.
You heard what was going on. You knew what was going on. And if it wasn't going in the right direction, then would you have called?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Great. Biggest takeaway, both Donna and Jeff, from this experience?
The biggest takeaway I would give is, for one, if you're not in a 20 group, get in one.
Yeah.
ATIs, the fundamentals and the, gearing us up and getting us everything we need is definitely very, very powerful. But there's nothing more powerful than getting in with a group of other shop owners and building a relationship to where, they are family to me. I think any one of us would go travel any distance we had to help the other out. That is the most powerful thing to me that ATI has to offer is the 20 group. And that's, I would strongly recommend that everybody get involved with one because it's that powerful.
Yeah, I definitely second that. It's a support system that you just can't find anywhere else. And it's not just one person. It's, 19 other shops there that you can call at any given time. And we're definitely all there for each other. We're all in the same boat. We've all been through the same ups and downs, and we're definitely there for each other. So it's an amazing support system.
What would you do different?
We would have joined earlier.
How long have you been in coaching?
I think we're going on 10 years, probably.
10, and the business is how old again?
32.
Wow. See, I met a lot of young people here very early in business, and they're in this organization. And I look at them and I say, you probably can't appreciate what you're doing for yourself and your business, being so young in business, being here. And everyone regrets, I wish I would have done this earlier.
Yeah, we always talk about how do we make it the first 20 years, I guess by the grace of God.
Yeah. Troy, let me ask you a question, or all of you a question. We talked about this in one of the earlier interviews today about the size of a 20 group. And I think I was talking with Mike Bennett about it. And, I said, what is the, and forget the word 20 group, and it doesn't have to be 20 people. How many are in your 20 group?
I think we got like 18, don't we?
Yeah, 17, I think it's 18. 18.
Okay, but because my point was is that is there, with 20, 18, does everybody have a chance to speak? I mean, does it still work with that size of a group?
Absolutely.
It does, okay.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things for me is we all push each other in different areas in our life. Jeff would push me, own your dirt from day one.
Okay.
And I bought dirt and built
you did it. Okay, yeah. So you kept getting that encouragement.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't encouragement, it was forced.
Okay.
No, I was always taught that. So when Troy was looking and whether he should build or rent, I definitely pushed him hard that, listen, you gotta own your dirt. You don't want to lease your dirt, own it. And then one day he says, I bought my dirt, and I was so proud of him. I'm like, perfect. And then I watched him go through what he went through. I thought, oh, my God, I'm hoping I'm not killing him.
I was only in the hospital once.
Over the business? What happened?
Well, I think I was just so stressed out. My immune system was so low that I had a virus attack my heart and my inner ear. And
he just had a lot. You know, he built a very, very, I mean, nice shop. A very, very nice shop. And it took a lot longer than he thought it was going to. In the meantime, he lost the building that he was in. That so he had no place to work while his shop was being built. So at that point, he moved into like a little garage, more or less, and kept it going. And just, I was, like I say, that's what I was saying. I heard it from a guy that I watched go through. You know, what I went through was nothing compared to what I watched him go through. And that's why coming from him, it was definitely stronger because it came from somebody that I knew has been through it.
I'm taken aback by just hearing that. And the stories like this that exist out there that so many don't know, but think about going through that alone, without a peer group, without friends in the industry, in or out of your town. That's what makes, in my opinion, coaching and peer groups and networking some of the most powerful resources we have in our industry that has really, really catapulted so many shop owners to greatness that they never knew they could ever reach.
Absolutely.
And part of my role in the last 6 years and 1,000+ episodes is to share that story over and over again. And all I wish and I hope for is somebody listens and says, finally, I better get off my duff and do what Carm's guests come on and talk about. And to me, this is one of the most profound episodes to listen to. And if you can't figure out what coaching and peer groups and 20 groups are about, you just heard the greatest story we could tell. Wow. This was great. Thank you. You know, we could go on and on, but I think we've got that's just a beautiful essence of what you both went through. I mean, Troy, I had no idea. I guess one thing I'd like to dig a little deeper, you went into a shack, as you say, you finally built your building, totally 100% recovered on top of the world.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Cool. And how long ago was that?
4.5 years ago.
Okay, all right.
And Troy's definitely one of the, leaders in our 20 group at this point. I mean, definitely is the, you know, got one of the strongest cultures and shops, I believe, we got a bunch of great ones. Don't get me wrong, I'm not cutting anybody down, but I think if you stacked them, you know, going from where he did, I mean, I think he pretty much so has it under control more than most of our rest of our 20 group, even though they're all doing great.
But I wouldn't be where I was at without my 20 group, for sure. I'd still be renting somewhere, I believe.
There's another great testimonial. Wow. Hey, guys, thanks for being here. Donna Hazeltine and Jeff. Jeff and Donna Hazeltine from American Import, Venice, Florida. And Tony Vaninetti. Did I say that right again?
Yeah, Troy Vaninetti.
I'm sorry, Troy. What did I say?
Tony. Close. It's Italian.
Tony, yeah. So, that's what I know. I can't believe I did that. All right. Troy, thanks for being here, everybody. Just great story. Thanks for sharing, being so transparent.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.